Do 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 do. Good evening and welcome to another Bedtime Story with Thompson. We're reading from The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. This is Chapter 9, The Attack of the Black Smoke. I later learned that on Sunday morning, while I had been sitting talking to the curate under the hedge, and while Frank had been out on the street by Waterloo Station, the Martians had started preparing for another attack. Three of the fighting machines had come out of the pit about 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and started advancing slowly in a line, a mile and a half apart, northward towards London. They spoke to each other by means of assorted siren-like howls. The gunners defending the village of Ripley in the Martians' path were new artillery volunteers who should never have been placed in such a strategic position. They fired one wild, premature volley, then ran off. One Martian, without using his heat ray, walked calmly over, crushing men and guns. Pushing forward, this Martian reached St. George's Hill, when a better-trained and braver artilleryman aimed and fired from 1,000 yards away. The shells flashed all around him, and one of his tripod legs was smashed. He uttered a strange howling cry, staggered, and went down. Immediately, the other Martian fighting machines appeared over the trees and aimed their heat rays at the battery. Ammunition exploded, pine trees burst into flames, and only one or two men could be seen escaping down the hill. The three fighting machines then got together and remained absolutely still for the next half hour. The small brown creature inside the damaged fighting machine struggled out of the hood and immediately began to repair the broken metal. In a while, he was finished, and the fighting machine was standing erect again. Eight other fighting machines, each carrying several thick black tubes, then joined those three. They divided these tubes among themselves, then advanced and placed themselves at equal distances along a 12-mile-long curve. As the curate and I were hurrying wearily and painfully along the road, we saw two of them moving across the field towards us. The curate uttered a cry, then began running. "It's no good running from a Martian," I called after him. "Come, follow me into the ditch. The hedge will cover us." Seeing the wisdom of my hiding place, he crawled in beside me. The two Martians stopped near us and took up their positions in the curve. Hidden batteries in the woods were waiting silently for their approach. Peering through the hedge, we heard the distant burst of gunfire, then another, nearer. The Martian closest to us raised his black tube high and discharged it like a gun towards the nearby village of Sunbury. The force of the blast made the ground around me tremble. But there was no flash, no smoke, only that explosive noise. The Martian farther along in the curve then discharged a blast also. I was so excited by these strange guns that I almost forgot my personal safety and my scalded hands, and I clambered up out of the ditch to see what purpose these guns had. As I did so, another explosive burst followed, and this time it shot something out towards Sunbury. I expected to see smoke or fire, but nothing happened. 1 minute? 2 minutes? A distant tumult of shouting began, then suddenly stopped. Every moment I expected some artillery fire or even an explosion from whatever the Martians had shot into the town, but there was nothing. The curate and I climbed a hill to get a better look at Sunbury. Hiding in a deserted house, we looked down at the village from an upper window. In the distance, we saw several cone-shaped hills suddenly appear out of nowhere. As we stared, the hills grew lower and wider. Then more appeared, and we realized that each time the Martians had discharged a burst from their gun-like black tubes, they had shot out a canister. These canisters smashed on striking the ground and immediately released a huge volume of black gas, which rose in huge hill-like clouds, then spread out and sank over the surrounding country in the form of smoke. The slightest inhaling of that black smoke, a kind of poison gas, brought instant death to all who breathed it. Men and horses near the black smoke ran, shrieking, falling headlong, shouting with dismay. Guns were suddenly abandoned, their artillerymen choking and writhing on the ground. The black smoke clung so closely to the ground that the only people who were able to escape its deadly poison were those who sought refuge on roofs or in tall trees. When the smoke had served the Martians' purpose, they cleared the air of it by shooting a jet of steam into it. From the window of the deserted house, the curate and I watched the Martians spreading this strange poison gas over the countryside as they advanced in a direct path to London. Never once, after the Martian at St. George's Hill was wounded, did they give the artillerymen a ghost of a chance against them. Wherever there was even a possibility of guns hidden in their path, a fresh burst of black smoke was discharged. And where the guns were actually in their view, they openly used the heat ray. Before dawn, the black smoke was pouring through the streets of Richmond, just outside London, and the government ordered an immediate evacuation of the great city. End of chapter 9.
Chapter 10.
Good night.